This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. It started as a rumor and then turned into a debate and then a massive construction project. Now, FC Cincinnati's West End home, TQL Stadium, is a reality. The facility will see its first Major League Soccer game this weekend. Coming up, we'll talk with team president Jeff Birding about this milestone and later sports journalist on how the team is doing and what their chances are on Sunday. But first, we take a look at the stadium's impact and contributions in the city's West End. We're joined now by Seven Hills Neighborhood House's Community Engagement Director, Tia Brown. Tia, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Also with us is West End Community Council President Robert Killens. Robert, thank you for being with us.
Delighted to be here. Thank you.
And lifelong West End resident Vonnie Tawab. Vonnie, thank you for being with us as well.
You're welcome.
Well, let me start with you, Vonnie. You've lived in the West End your whole life, I understand. This is a huge structure now in the neighborhood. What are your thoughts?
Well, at first I had negative opinion, but then once it got started, I said, well, ain't no sense of being upset about it. You know, I might as well just, you know, accept it. But I still feel that it's taken a lot out of the West End, taking some of our landmarks that we had, you know, taking them away and putting something else in its place that, to me, it just don't fit in the West End.
Are there particular landmarks that you miss?
Some of the streets, some of the houses, some of the stores, especially the ones that was on Central Parkway. You know, we had a beauty shop over there. We had a store over there. And it was just a lot of things that was over there, you know. And just the houses of people that we knew that, you know, had to move out. And the main thing is the Taft Stadium that had to be removed. That was the big thing. And that's when I talked to a lot of people. They were really upset about that.
You're talking about the high school stadium that was there.
Yes.
Well, the stadium, the soccer team made an investment to assist the school in getting a new stadium. What do you think the arrival of this Major League Soccer team in your neighborhood, Vonnie, means for the future of it?
It may be good and it may not. I mean, I don't think it's going to be all that good for the long-term residents that live in the West End and for people that want to stay in the West End with houses that they can afford to live in. I think that's going to be a problem.
Tia Brown is the Community Engagement Director at the Seven Hills Neighborhood Houses. Tia, I understand you're already seeing an increase in value in housing around the neighborhood after the arrival of the soccer stadium.
Definitely. The neighborhood had already been feeling development pressures from over the Rhine. And whenever the stadium was announced, that kind of accelerated things, put the pedal to the metal, so to speak. So there's been definitely heightened values in the neighborhood. I think if you look, there's currently a house pending for sale. It's beautiful. Let me tell you, it looks beautiful from the pictures, but it's pending for sale right now for nearly $680,000. So that's one of the highest that we've seen in the neighborhood. So the values are rising steadily and faster than any neighborhood. And I believe the stadium is the main reason for that.
So when we see the value increasing on some of the properties around the stadium, are there any concerns associated with that as it relates to affordability and accessibility to housing in the West End?
Sure. Granted, there's been people and families in the neighborhood who have owned houses for a long time and have been waiting for their values to go up. And that's a wonderful thing. They need to see that equity. They need to see that wealth created for their family and their investment. But at the same time, there's a lot of vacancy in the neighborhood. And we're hoping, as the CDC of the West End, to be able to get our hands on that vacant land and vacant property so we can control the price point to keep it at a balanced rate. So there's definite pros and cons to major development in the neighborhood, but we don't want to look back 5 years from now and say, hey, we coulda, woulda, shoulda did this or that. We want to work with partners now to put our hands on the vacancy so we can control the rates. If Joe down the street buys a house, he has to get return on his investment, right? And he has to make his price points at a certain range. But with us as a nonprofit, as the CDC of the West End, we can work with the port, with the county, and with other developer partners to in the city, most importantly, to have subsidy on these houses so we can bring the price down but still keep the value in it. So a family in the neighborhood who have been renting for 5, 6, 7, 10 years, they make enough money to buy a house, but they need a house around the 150 range or the 200 range. We want to have houses at that range available in the neighborhood.
Robert Killens is West End Community Council President. He's also with us. Robert, I spoke with FC Cincinnati President Jeff Birding earlier this morning. We're going to play that interview just ahead, a little later on in this program. Jeff Birding seems to say, Robert, that a lot of the issues that the soccer team and the neighborhood had to work through have been worked through, and that the relationship is pretty good right now. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I think like with any relationship that's new and that didn't perhaps get off to the best start, it's a work in progress. You know, we commend FC for what they've done. They have developed with us a community benefits agreement that's been working. They've made investments in the neighborhood, and we look forward to a strong partnership with them. The relationship with FC is good, and we want it to be a strong and productive partnership. But like with any kind of a change, it is a shock, and it affects that shock is disparate, meaning that it doesn't affect everyone the same. And so, but we are looking forward to a positive and strengthened relationship as we go forward with FC Cincinnati.
Robert, what do you think this significant investment in your neighborhood means for its future?
Well, I think one of the things if you do a little historic analysis of West End, you learn that it's always been at the effect of change and from forces outside the community. You know, the interstate right through the heart of a very vibrant community and everything else that's happened, right? So I think that what we have to do is say, this is where we are. How can we work together to make this a stronger community, one that will be a great home for FC, but also one that will improve the lives or be a place of improved quality of life for all the residents that are there and for new residents that are coming in. So we have to take an optimistic view. The old saying of crying over spilled milk is appropriate here. You know, the stadium is there. There's opportunity for jobs and business and other. FC has made investments in the community. We appreciate that. So we have to look forward. But let me just add one point to what Tia was saying. We have to be planful. We can't believe that the market forces and everything else will just make everything fine. We know that they won't. But if we partner the city, FC, the port, the community, and stake out a plan that everyone agrees is a good plan for all and work diligently toward that, then we can look back on this time and see it really as a time of opportunity.
Cincinnati Edition wanted to gauge reaction from people who live, work, and play in the West End. So assistant producer Nick Swartzel attended the team's May 1st open house to talk to people touring the facility. He found an array of perspectives. First, we're going to hear from residents Pinky, who lives in the neighborhood and said she loves the new stadium, and Paula, who lives on the west side, but her kids also play in the team's junior league.
I'm from the downtown area, and I love it. I'm liking it. My kids are actually playing in the soccer game today, So we're really excited just to, you know, see the new stadium. I think it's a really good addition to it. I think it's going to bring in a lot of, you know, different faces and good stuff. Changes for the downtown.
I like the stadium. There are a lot of concerns, though, as far as people with misplaced housing and had to move different restaurants. So that's kind of disturbing for me. I do like it. I don't know. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence. We're here. We do have kids who play in their junior league. So that's nice.
Those were residents Pinky and Paula talking about the arrival of TQL Stadium in Cincinnati's West End, home of FC Cincinnati. And we also heard from Keith, a long-term resident of the West End. Here's his response.
I just think it's a Trojan horse for gentrification, what they want to do, but they'll never really pull it off until they tear down Stanley Row Tower. But I don't think it's good for the neighborhood to have people, to have fringe dwellers coming around here talking about our community, and our community has been poor for years, you know? But I think it's a total waste of money. Uh-huh. I'm not into entertainment at all, you know? You can put money into other things that really would give people real jobs and stuff like that, you know? But these people are so hell-bent on entertaining themselves, you know, with distraction, that it takes away from what's really going on.
And let's bring back Vonnie, a lifelong West End resident. Vonnie, those are your neighbors who are offering a variety of perspectives. Is that pretty representative of the conversations that are taking place in your part of town?
Yes.
So you are finding that a lot of
people.
Yeah, go ahead.
I talked to several people, and they're concerned about what he just talked about. And also, they're concerned about when the games are actually played, they're concerned about their parking spaces will be taken up, and they won't be able to park close to their houses. And they're concerned about the noise after the games are over. So it's a lot of things that people are talking about.
And let's go back to Tia Brown, Community Engagement Director at Seven Hills Neighborhood Houses. As you start to help plan the future of the West End with residents in mind, is there any challenge in bringing all these different perspectives together right now, Tia?
Yeah, there's always challenge when you have differing opinions around an issue. So we're doing our best just to make sure that the community is engaged, that they're involved and at the table. We always encourage residents to participate in West End Community Council. It meets every third Tuesday at 6 o'clock, shameless plug, but we really want our residents to come out and be involved in the civic process, because we find out about all the latest information, resources, and opportunities that come by. So, and it's difficult because, you know, people who might be working jobs that are a little more strict, they don't have as much flexibility in their schedule. They don't have access to a digital device to be able to jump on all these Zoom meetings any old time of day or night. You know, they're juggling children and teaching from home and everything else. So it's difficult now more than ever to make sure the community is engaged, especially a community that might have a large population that are lower income. But that's the challenge, and that's why we're there to work and advocate on behalf of the residents as a whole, but then also working with the residents that have the resources and the time and the money and the energy, just to make sure that they're not just thinking about their position, but then people who might be in the neighborhood who don't look like them or don't have the pocketbooks like they do.
Robert Killens is West End Community Council President. Robert, obviously some lingering concerns about what the arrival of FC Cincinnati means to the West End. What do you think your next steps are in bringing people together, if you feel like that's necessary, to collectively talk about the future, knowing now that there is no debate over whether a stadium is coming? This is part of our neighborhood now.
I think that, first of all, thank you for just airing a variety of voices, right? Because to Vonnie's point, all of those points of view exist. And in order for us to constructively move forward, we have to acknowledge that, right? So the first thing, if we acknowledge that they exist, then that creates space for dialogue. I think problems don't get solved when we act like they don't exist and we ignore them. And so we don't have that dialogue that can help diffuse them, you know, we know that untreated trauma can last a lifetime. And so to acknowledge the loss of the things that Ms. Bonnie was talking about, the loss of the state theater and the restaurants and places, all of that. And, you know, and for some, even the exhibit Finding Kenyon Bar is still traumatizing for people who, you know, lost that. So I think the most important thing is to say, yes, there are a diversity of views. There are strong supporters of the stadium. There are those in the middle, and then there are opponents. But it's here, to your point. How do we make the best of it? And then how do we include those people? And then how do we try to work on those issues that they surface? So having continual dialogue is what's needed. And too often in today's society, you know, that back and forth, that civic discourse is missing. We just have our staked out camps and we shout at each other, but we don't engage in dialogue. And if we don't do that, we can't heal and we can't move forward and we can't bring the kind of prosperity, because this stadium being here represents a very important economic opportunity and civic opportunity for all of us. But we have to be willing to engage in dialogue, learn from each other, and maximize its value for all of us, not just the West End, for Cincinnati and the greater region.
Robert Killens is the West End Community Council president. We've also been joined by Tia Brown, Seven Hills Neighborhood House's Community Engagement Director and lifelong West End resident, Vani Tawab. Thanks to all of you, Tia, Robert, Vani, for taking some time to talk with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And up next, we have a conversation with FC Cincinnati President Jeff Birding about the relatively short road from the idea of bringing pro soccer to town to opening up a brand new stadium to showcase it. Also want to remind you, next week, as part of our ongoing series, Trust in Local Government, WVXU's Public Integrity Project, Cincinnati Edition will devote time each afternoon to discuss the growing lack of trust in our elected officials and efforts to reinforce ethical standards in public agencies. You can join the discussion on Cincinnati Edition, weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU, and you are listening to Cincinnati Edition on this very pleasant May day on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. FC Cincinnati will take its new field at TQL Stadium on Sunday for the first home game in this new facility. It has been a swift rise for the local team, first emerging as a minor league squad, then being promoted to Major League Soccer, and now having a place to call home all its own in just about 6 years. The main driving force behind the team's existence is FC Cincinnati President Jeff Birding. I spoke with him this morning, and here's our interview. Joining us now is Jeff Birding, president of FC Cincinnati. Jeff, thank you so much for taking some time for us.
Thank you, Michael.
So, pretty big weekend ahead for you guys, right?
Yeah, it's a very big week. We're super excited. It's been 6 years of some extraordinary work, and we're just so thrilled to open TQL Stadium.
I was reading Sherry Coolidge's report in the Inquirer, where she did a detailed timeline on basically the history of you and FC Cincinnati. And just as you said, it hasn't even been 6 full years since you first let us know that you wanted to bring a soccer team to town that started as a minor league team and that one day it would be an MLS team. And here you are this weekend opening this new stadium. Just share your personal feelings about what this feels like.
Well, I'm a Cincinnati kid. So I grew up in Westwood, and I've never forgotten my roots. And I've always felt blessed to have to be born in Cincinnati, to make Cincinnati my home. And my family's here. I'm one of 10 kids and raising my own three kids here. And I just I feel blessed to be in a position to try to make our city better. And I think FC Cincinnati makes our city better. I think that soccer is the sport of the future, and it allows us to promote Cincinnati to the rest of the world as a dynamic city on the come with a lot of great people here.
What do you think you've learned about your hometown as a soccer city during this process and this experience?
Well, it's interesting. I know at the beginning of FC Cincinnati, we of course had passionate soccer fans who were in the Bailey, and they created the environment that was the beacon, the siren call, if you will, for people to want to come to our matches. But it's not as if everyone who was coming to our matches initially were big soccer fans. They just, it was the thing, the fun thing to do. It was, our matches are only 2 hours long, and obviously Nippert had a cool vibe to it. And, but I think we've become a bigger soccer community. You would say that we're arguably the soccer capital of the U.S. or certainly of the Midwest. We were third in attendance in our first year in Major League Soccer, second in merchandise sales. So I think people have the game of soccer has really grown in this community, and it's going to continue to grow as people have the opportunity to experience TQL Stadium. Our team, we're going to get back to winning as we were in the minor leagues. And I think it's a very exciting future.
You grew up here in Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a great sports town with, you know, a Major League Baseball team, a National Football League team. Did it surprise you, the passion that was demonstrated by fans for soccer?
No, because, you know, I grew up on the Big Red Machine. My earliest memories are of Pete Rose and Joe Morgan and Johnny Bench and the Grade Eight. And I was blessed to work for the Cincinnati Bengals for 19 years. And of course was a big fan of the two Super Bowl teams. So no, I knew that this is just a great sports town, period. Look, you can get into high school sports. You could get into college sports, certainly with UC and Xavier. So no, this is a great sports town, and our sports teams are how we showcase our civic pride, our passion for whether it be our schools or our community, our city. And so, no, I knew this was a great sports town. I knew that the community was ready for something new, something different. We did our research. Soccer, the U.S. men's team, the English Premier League, U.S. women's team, in terms of Nielsen ratings, was doing as well in Cincinnati as Kansas City or St. Louis. So there was no question. Youth soccer, number of youth soccer players in this area is one of the tops per capita in the country. So, no, there was a foundation here to build on. Someone just had to, you know, light the match.
We're talking with Jeff Birding. He's the president of FC Cincinnati this weekend. TQL Stadium hosts that team in its opener at its new West End home. What are your thoughts on TQL Stadium? Is it everything you wanted it to be?
Honestly, it surpassed my expectations. Listen, it's really easy to have the vision. And I was able to go around to soccer stadiums in the England and in the Netherlands and other parts of Europe. And of course, toured some of the best soccer stadiums here. I worked at the NFL, toured almost every NFL stadium. I've been to a bunch of baseball stadiums. So, I mean, I sort of was able to pick and choose ideas that I thought would work well. We made sure in the design process, fan experience was number one. You know, when we had to decide where we wanted to spend our money, does this help fan experience or not? If it helped fan experience, that's where we wanted to spend. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the architect putting it together, the construction team working through a pandemic to build it. And of course, our owners, Carl Lindner, the Lindner family, Meg Whitman and her family, Scott Farmer and the Josephs, and all of our great owners had to pay for it. And so it's an extraordinary stadium. I was proud when the commissioner of Major League Soccer said it's one of the best soccer stadiums in the world. I believe that, having seen these other stadiums. And it certainly raises the bar here in our market, just in terms of the fan experience. And I say that as someone who I have season tickets with the Reds and the Bengals and love both my hometown teams.
Well, I want to ask about that because these are your hometown teams and, you know, people are very attached to where these teams play. I mean, you'll have people still talking about Crosley Field and certainly Riverfront Stadium. And where do you think this will fall into people's memories? What will people take away from their experiences at TQL Stadium?
Well, number one, it's a great place to have a fun time watching soccer. Or another sport, because we'll have other events there. But it's a great venue to appreciate the sport. There's not a bad seat in the place. I think the food and drinks are going to be outstanding with our partners at Levy. I think people will really like how it's connected into the community. I mean, this is an urban stadium. There's people living right across the street. So this is not, you know, where you drop a stadium in an empty spot. I think people really like the fact that this isn't, you know, a true, authentically urban stadium. Of course, you know, the light show that we have, I think people will be pleased with the technology in terms of being able to take pictures and share them on social media and whatnot. I think they'll appreciate the stadium is not screaming necessarily in all parts FC Cincinnati. It's screaming Cincinnati throughout the building. And so I think people are going to want to wander around and check out different elements where we pay homage to Cincinnati's history. We obviously want to celebrate the past with a vision for the future and a great, exciting future for Cincinnati.
We're talking with Jeff Birding, FC Cincinnati president. We know that you had to navigate some conversations and some issues in getting this stadium located in the West End. Where do you think you are now within the confines of that neighborhood and the people who live there around it?
I'm very happy. Very happy with how things have developed. When we first looked at building the stadium in the West End, I went door to door in City West and knocked on people's doors. I had Keith Blake from the community council and one of the pastors, Nick Burnett, and Nick Johnson, a volunteer coach for the Little Senators. And they went door to door with me, introduced me to people, and I had good conversations. And of course, I attended all those public hearings and I was listening and taking notes. And the thing that I was struck with is change had not been good for people in the West End. And so they were afraid. There was a lot of fear of what is this going to mean? What is this going to mean for the neighborhood? What will this mean for my ability to live in the West End? And we made commitments. We signed a legal document, putting those commitments in a community benefits agreement. And, you know, I'm very pleased because we've honored and exceeded those commitments. And I think when we opened the stadium after the ribbon cutting, the first event was not for FC Cincinnati's extraordinary season ticket holders. The first event was for our neighbors in the West End. We did an open house. And the first soccer games played, the first soccer balls to be kicked on the field at TQL Stadium were not from our FC Cincinnati players or our academy players. They were from kids from the West End who we founded their teams, the West End Pride. And those kids, we started at two teams with about 40 kids. I think now we're up close to 170 kids who played for the West End Pride. They were the first games played in front of their neighbors and their families. And we opened it up where you could come and walk around the entire stadium. And we had, you know, things at the concession stands, I think, for a dollar. And it was just a great way to have, you know, like if you move into the neighborhood, you have an open house. And that's how you continue to build authentic relationships with people. And we've done that. We've hired a bunch of people from the West End. We actually hired some during the open house. I'm just very proud because it's been an authentic relationship. And when I read the story in the Enquirer and I heard the speeches at the ribbon cutting, you see that people are excited about the future and that people are proud that we have some extraordinary development that just screams pride in Cincinnati and pride in the West End.
The future is certainly ahead. Right now, we're in the present, though, and we are still dealing with the remnants, maybe, of the COVID-19 pandemic. As far as that goes, towards the fan experience at TQL Stadium, at least here in the early days of the season, what should fans expect as far as distancing and that sort of thing?
Sure. Well, I've opened a stadium before, Paul Brown Stadium, and I've told our team that took some years off my lifespan, but nothing compared to opening a stadium in a pandemic. And it breaks our hearts because we have great season ticket holders who have been with us for many, many years, and they're not going to be at the first game because the governor's orders are, you know, we're limited to 40%. So that's the biggest impact, is it's not going to be a full stadium. So, we're allowed to have groups of 10 in small pockets, 6 feet social distancing. We hope to have all of our season ticket holders in by certainly the third game. In the meantime, when you come in, it's a ticketless entry. Just you hold your phone up and the ticket's on your phone. It's a cashless system. So if you come with a $20 bill, we have reverse debit machines, ATM machines. So you can get a card, which, by the way, you can use outside of TQL Stadium. So you're not having any breakage. But we do that to try to limit the number of touches, right, between the people working in the stadium and our fans. We've tried to make the end point in our restrooms all touchless. So again, that's a nod to COVID. We've made some changes in the design process once the pandemic hit, to try to have as little touch points as possible in the interest of public health.
We're talking with Jeff Birding, the president of FC Cincinnati. One last thing. I know the team is off to a bit of a slow start as far as the win, lose, or draw column goes. How do you see the rest of the stadium playing out? Season.
We started three on the road against three playoff teams. We didn't play so well. One tie. That's not where we want to be. It's enormously frustrating. When we started FC Cincinnati, Carl Lindner and I, made it very clear that we're an ambitious club. We want to win. We want to win championships for Cincinnati. We want to make Cincinnati a championship city. And we did that in the USL our third year, won the trophy. Obviously our quick expansion into MLS has not been good. So we've acquired a bunch of new players. We got a couple more coming in. And then they're going to have to develop. But the fact of the matter is, we only play three home games before the 4th of July. And the back half of our schedule is mostly home games, and which is also good because we should be at 100% then. So we'll come together as a group. We'll be better. We'll get results. We still envision FC Cincinnati being a playoff team. And there's 34 games. So three games don't make the season.
Jeff Birding is president of FC Cincinnati. Jeff, thank you so much for taking some time for us, and good luck on the rest of the season and with the opening of the stadium.
I listen to Morning Edition, so it's great to be with you guys. Thanks so much.
We appreciate that. Thank you. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks for a look at what to expect from FC Cincinnati as the Major League Soccer season proceeds. We're joined by Cincinnati Inquirer reporter Pat Brennan. Pat, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Really happy to be here.
Good. And local freelance sports journalist Laurel Failer is also with us. Laurel, thank you for taking some time for us also.
Thank you. Happy to be here as well.
Okay, y'all. So this is like 6 years in the making. It seems rather fast for a team to arrive as a minor league team, get promoted up to the Major League Soccer, and now to have its own stadium that it's moving into this Sunday. Pat, am I wrong in that assessment? I mean, this is so fast.
No, it's remarkably fast. it's been a whirlwind at every level of the organization and beyond. I think it's extended out to the fans and, excuse me, in our experience covering it as well. There was no question that when FC Cincinnati had an opportunity to join MLS in 2019, that was going to accelerate you know, construction of the stadium, and the timeline has been very condensed. But it's been at the same time, it feels like the moment is right. FC Cincinnati is where it should be. I think there was a discussion about whether or not, you know, joining the league when they did, you know, could the organization have benefited from maybe marinating a bit more in the lower leagues? But ultimately, they're here, and the fan base was ready for that. The stadium's obviously ready for this weekend. So the moment feels right for the organization in a lot of ways, I would say.
Laurel, I talked to Jeff Birding about, you know, how did they anticipate that Cincinnati was such a soccer town? I'm wondering if you could share some thoughts on what you've learned about that status for the city.
Yeah, I mean, soccer in Cincinnati at the youth level, it has been huge. There's a lot of really talented youth soccer players in this area, and you could see even in TV ratings for national team games, even women's soccer, Cincinnati and Dayton are always up there as high viewership for any other kind of soccer that we're talking about on a global stage or even nationally. So, yeah, Cincinnati was primed for a soccer team. It was remarkable how they were able to, because there have been efforts to bring major or professional soccer teams to Cincinnati, and it didn't work out. But with Jeff Birding and Carl Lindner and the ownership group that he was able to put together, people could see right away that this was a club that was serious about these ambitions of taking soccer to the highest level in Cincinnati. And because there is that youth soccer hotbed here, and people are interested in the game, and it's just growing here, it was the right time for Carl Lindner and his group to launch a team in August 2015 for the 2016 USL season. And yeah, it's taken off. Everyone was surprised. I mean, I think they were hoping at some point to get to 10,000 fans that first season, and they got there pretty quick. And then, you know, by the end of the season, I think they already had 10,000 season ticket holders. So, yeah, it's definitely grown remarkably, and it's the perfect spot for bringing a Major League Soccer team, just because of that organic growth that they've seen from the fans.
Pat, tell us about these fans, because you do have a story out this week about the pre-match march. And if we're not embedded in that, perhaps we don't even know what that means. Would you mind explaining that for our listeners who are unfamiliar?
Yeah, sure. It's a kind of a traditional soccer happening before matches. You know, in so many parts of the world, I think, and Cincinnati is included in that as well, these matches are, like Jeff said in the last segment, the 2-hour-long sporting events, but there's so much civic pride tied up in soccer in particular. So these are civic happenings when a match takes place. And the pre-match march is another manifestation of the civic pride. So before the games at TQL Stadium and previously at Nippert, the different supporters clubs, essentially, clubs of paying members who support FC Cincinnati would gather at designated establishments in the neighborhood around Nippert Stadium, and they'll do so again around TQL Stadium. They will gather at Finley Market prior to matches at TQL Stadium, and they will march en masse with a stop at Washington Park in between up the grand staircase to TQL Stadium. And these marches are filled with singing and chanting. Banners are hoisted, flags are being waved. There are some smoke-producing pyrotechnical devices that kind of add to the atmosphere. And like I said, this is just another show of support for FC Cincinnati, but a show of love for city and community. So that's what the match is all about. And I think, Sunday's match will be the first attempt at this in Over the Rhine and in the West End. It's going to be because of what those neighborhoods are and because they are up and coming, and a lot of people make their homes there, permanent homes there. I think the march will be policed a little bit more heavily than it was when they were playing in Clifton. So there might be some kinks to work out, but what we see on Sunday is going to be, at the very least, a rough template for what this march looks like in Cincinnati going forward.
We're talking with Pat Brennan, FC Cincinnati beat writer for the Cincinnati Inquirer, and freelance sports journalist Laurel Fehler, who's also with us. Laurel, have you been to the new stadium yet? Have you checked it out?
I have. I've been a couple times. Most recently on Friday, we got to have a food tasting for the media. And yeah, it's magnificent. I've been blown away. Jeff Birding mentions even just the little details of the stadium that make it just shine Cincinnati and not just FC Cincinnati. It really is. It's impressive. I think it's going to be probably at the top for stadiums in MLS.
I should note that Cincinnati Public Radio studios are just a block away from the stadium. We've watched this thing go up over the duration of this past year. There really wasn't anything else to do but watch this thing be built, of course. And it's an interesting sight. So how does it compare to other soccer stadiums perhaps you've been to, Laurel?
Well, Pat's probably better to talk about that. He's been to a lot of the stadiums
as a traveling reporter.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, go ahead, Pat.
Laurel's selling herself short. She's very modest. She's been to plenty of places around the league. But I think that it's comparable in cost to the current generation of stadiums that we see being erected around MLS. There's an incredible soccer stadium infrastructure that has come up in this country over the last decade. I have a piece on that running on Cincinnati.com in the coming days. And TQL Stadium is comparable in price. I think it's, in terms of capacity at 26,000, it is larger than most, and in that sense, more ambitious of a project to take on. But, you know, I think for the time being, TQL Stadium, the thing that differentiates TQL Stadium is the design and some of the special features. And I really think that in the near term, and this will be short-lived because there are already more stadiums coming online and around MLS later this season and then next year after that. But for the time being, FC Cincinnati will enjoy, I think, at TQL Stadium, a rightly deserved mantle as the standard bearer of soccer stadiums in North America.
Wow. Well, Laurel, how was the food?
It was really good, and I will say I am a picky eater, so I was a little hesitant to try some of the things. I didn't know what was on it, but the fans that are, and the thing that stood out to me, I guess, was that the food that we were trying, it was this high-end food that you would think would only be available in the club seating sections, but that is not what FC Cincinnati wanted. They wanted to make everything available. They wanted the fans to be able to enjoy this experience so much that the high-end food that you would think was just for the club seating is available at different areas of the stadium that's accessible to all. So everyone, I think, will be very pleased with their food options on Sunday.
Well, let's talk about what we might see on Sunday. Pat, the season's off to a bit of a slow start for FC Cincinnati. Haven't won a game yet. I guess they've lost a couple and finishing a draw in one of them here in their first three matches. So just give us a brief overview for the casual observer of this local soccer team, what the status of the team is right now competitively.
Yeah. So it's interesting. These first three games, like Jeff said in the last segment, were against a very strong playoff teams from last season. So in one sense, I didn't expect them to get anything from any of those three matches, but they have one draw, which is a great positive. Now, on the other hand, let me just say, in that sense, they are ahead of where I thought they would be. Now, you look at the two games they lost, and those were essentially, the FC Cincinnati was non-competitive in those matches. So in that sense, they are simultaneously ahead of schedule and also not as good as they could or should be. So it's tough to evaluate. It is early days in the season, Miami is a star-studded team, but they are not world beaters, certainly not at the moment. They were a playoff team last year, so another playoff team from last year, but they were the last team in an expanded playoff field for the pandemic-shortened season. Basically, I think FC Cincinnati certainly has a puncher's chance in Sunday's match. And beyond that, I think there's a real sense that, you know, there were so many magical moments that this team enjoyed in the first 4 years of its existence. I think there's a sense that there might, hopefully, there will be some of that magic carrying over to TQL Stadium. Basically, I think, you know, it would be a great thing to open the stadium, set a tone, and make a statement to the rest of MLS that this is what it means. If you're going to come into our stadium and play us here in the West End, we take pride in it, and it's going to be a long day for you. I think that's the statement FC Cincinnati needs to make, and I think they will give, win, lose, or draw, I think they will give a better accounting of themselves on Sunday.
Laurel, this is a team that certainly has diehard fans, but it's still a relatively new team to the community, so it's probably going to grow a casual fan base. Who are some names that the casual observer will become familiar with over the coming years?
Well, the talk of the team this offseason was the two new attacking players that they brought in. Brenner, just goes by Brenner, from Brazil. He is a young player that's just... he's very talented, a very strong finisher. He's kind of a pest in the box, really goes after it and puts the pressure on the defense. They brought him in on a pretty hefty price tag on his transfer fee. So everyone kind of immediately is looking to him to make a difference. And then Luciano Acosta, their central attacking midfielder, very creative player. He's kind of the missing piece that we have not seen this team have a true number 10, as we call it in soccer. Just a creative player in the middle that can bring together the offense. We haven't had that the last two seasons, and unfortunately he's missed the last two games, and that could contribute to the lack of competitiveness that Pat was talking about.
Well, no. We'll have to see. Pat Brennan from the Cincinnati Inquirer and Laurel Failer, local freelance sports journalist. Thanks to both of you. I hope we can lean on you again as the season progresses. We appreciate the time you gave us today.
Thank you.
FC Cincinnati takes the field in its new stadium Sunday at 4 o'clock. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition here on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder, assistant producer Nick Swartzel, technical director Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.